This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, multiple insurance needs. They'll do everything they can to save you money. Could be bundles. Sometimes you're allowed to go over state lines to get insurance. They'll do whatever they can to save you money, but also, more importantly, to make sure you're fully insured. Pros, pros. Great people or pros, pros. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. It is Tuesday. Time now to bring common sense to the world. Neil Coulon, sir, welcome.
There is nothing common about common sense, as you know, but it is still a great day and a great one to be here talking with you fine gentlemen.
Yes, so let's start with this, and that is the fact that they're having relatively serious talks now between the Players Association and the office in New York about going to 18 games. It's something you and I have talked about before. Your thoughts on the fact that it's serious at this stage?
I think this was telegraphed a while ago. They wanted 18. Depending which side of the fence you're on, I think you can make the argument very simply that 18 is better than 17 in the owner's mind. Mm-hmm. They could get one out of it last time. I think each side can represent a reason to have agreed on 17 instead of pushed or argued against 18, in that it sets something up for next time. In a collective bargaining situation, everything is quid pro quo. What can I get for this? Each side is bargaining. I think if the players were really against the idea of 18 games, they would probably have dug in a bit harder on 17. What can they get for an 18th game is the right question to ask as far as their leadership is concerned. So are you going to get a bigger cut of revenue because of this? That's very possible. Are there other concessions that we can get because of this? Can we lump this in with a bunch of other things? I'm not inside the union's war room discussing all this, but they probably have a laundry list of things that they want in exchange for that game. There will be a much more spirited discussion surrounding the inclusion of that 18th game. But I do think both sides are aware of the fact that that's where this is going to go. It's just a question of what the price is. That's what they're discussing now. In the last CBA, this might not even be a CBA issue, to be honest. They don't need the CBA to determine that. It really just kind of comes down to how they want to define it for the short term. You know, I don't know if this is a next year thing or not, but they're going to get together, they're going to meet, go over it. I'm pretty sure everyone kind of saw the direction the wind was blowing and knew they were going to add this other game. So what can the players get in the short term for this, and what is it going to set up in terms of the next CBA? Because to be honest, I think the players would like to have this be the topic of conversation for the next CBA, delay it a little bit, and be able to lump in more things that have to be done via collective bargaining, as opposed to now, I'm forgetting what the term of it is, but something that's done inside the CBA, they can negotiate, discuss it. There are other, value adds the players can get beyond just revenue, although revenue is, usually going to be the cornerstone of it all.
Let's get to the Joe Burrow thought, and that is two bye weeks during an 18-game schedule. What would your thought be on that?
Yeah, I think that's a good one for them to pitch. I think that makes sense.
I agree.
I can see the value to it. I think we enter into territory of 18 games, 20 weeks of the regular season, and then playoffs. I think you're probably risking fatigue a little bit. But I do think there's a trade-off in there if you want to discuss safety, health. It gives probably the NFL more opportunity to expand into Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every other day they're not playing. There's more that they could do with that. I've said this often, and this is just kind of a dumb point to make, I know, but I feel for the schedule makers. I don't know how they keep all this stuff together. I don't know how logistically they piece it all together, but I do think a second bye week opens things up from the owner's perspective. It probably would mean more international games, just because you've got that extra week that they can come back from. I think it makes sense. You know, I could see the owners being okay with that. Fans on the surface will probably complain. By and large, though, I don't think it's anything that people can't just kind of get used to. And, you know, enjoy it for what it is. It lasts a little bit longer. Some years that's better, some years that's worse, I'm sure. But it makes sense. I definitely think that's a part of it. I would hope the union, in including Burrow's proposal, would add more to it. I think it's a costly piece of, you know, negotiating leverage. I'd hope they get a little bit more out of it. I'm sure that they will.
In fact, I believe this happens to be a year where the college football schedule sets up in terms of bye weeks between Labor Day weekend and Thanksgiving weekend. So that's why there's always one. Well, there's always a time where there's two. Well, this is two this year in college football because Labor Day to Thanksgiving weekend's 14 Saturdays. I've been advocating that college football, especially with the expanded playoff, needs to go to two as well. I mean, I've been advocating for that. Just make two permanent. Now I'm going to ask the big question, which is just a pure guessing game. From the fans' interest point of view, how many is too many?
Such a great question. Let me give you the digital content perspective.
Okay.
You get used to certain trends. Traffic peaks at certain times. What I've noticed over two decades of staring myself blind at spreadsheets and Google Analytics, there is a point where it drops around late October.
Okay.
And I'm saying this generally, not the election year, you know, significant drop I'm sure I'm going to see come late October this year.
Right.
Typically, it seems like that sort of wears out. The novelty is kind of off. Others, you know, you might argue more natural or sociological issues that come with that. Late October in the areas that we're from, not always the nicest to be outside. You know, a lot less daylight. It's a bit more bleak and gray. Your interest in a lot of things kind of wanes down. You know, if your team is, you know, 2-5 going into October, you're not going to be as interested as you were in week one. So from that perspective, anything beyond that to rally the interest of the fan base beyond just the game itself, because, you know, they'll gripe about it, not be content, yell for everybody to be fired, but come kickoff, they're excited, you know. Right. Just the window of excitement shrinks considerably if your team isn't good as the season goes on.
Right.
Where it really lights up again is December. Mm-hmm. Now, on one hand, November tends to not be great because you have a holiday in there. Thanksgiving is not a great digital holiday, as odd as it seems. People aren't really checking into these things all that much. It's really kind of, you know where it is. It's the middle of the week. Your game's after all the stuff. So you lose a couple days in there. You see that impact in traffic. Come December, what you're really looking at is, you know, the great concentration of the regular seasons into the postseasons of the NFL and college. And what that means is you're hitting on the draft market. People that have a terrible team are now looking at who's a top five pick. Some of them are playing in bowl games. You know, you get a look at that. They're off, so you're talking, you know, college writers are talking more about the individual players anyway, what their futures are like, who's leaving, transfer portal stuff now. A lot of that comes up in December. And in some cases, you're even closer to firing that NFL head coach,
mm-hmm.
or you actually do it. Those are right. Big traffic moments. A lot, you know, the commonality in all that is the change. You know, where is it going? Why is it going to get better? To me, those are not, they're game adjacent. They're not game specific, though. So the question of how many games from a digital content perspective is less important than the general buzz that comes with it. The NFL is a large soap opera. You know, people don't really like to call it that, but I can assure you the product off the field is worth a lot more than the product on the field is. People mm-hmm. watch the games. They're into that, but they really follow the storylines that play into it all. Coaches getting fired, maybe getting fired. Coaches becoming available, maybe becoming available. Add that into the transfer portal stuff. College coaches getting fired. All these things are linked together. And December is a big, big month because of that. So you're adding on games into January, and maybe that buzz goes into January instead of more into December. So I don't think 18 is too much for that. I think by the time February comes along, you've got kind of that groundhog feel. It's like, okay, this is still going to go on for however long. I could see the fatigue setting in at, you know, above 18. People are going to gripe about 18 as if it's too much. I think they're still going to be drawn into it as long as there's not too much of a gap between the end of college and the end of the regular season in the NFL. But that's definitely something to watch. I think that's going to be really interesting just to see how audiences react, not just two extra games, but the build-up to it, that exciting time of the year that they're used to in December. Can you get that in January? January is not a real warm month in a lot of cases.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see how people will respond to that.
Because when they went to 17, I didn't think it was any big deal in terms of how I'd feel about it. And I remember as the season was going, I kept thinking, man, this is really a long season. I mean, even I started, it was just an addition of one game. That's why I think it's an important question.
Yeah, I definitely think there is a market of people that are going to say too much is too much. And I would say the effect that you're describing is more like not that the ending is at a certain point, but there's more time to go. And to me, on the downside of it, what you look at is the biggest advantage, in my opinion, the NFL has over other sports is the finality of every game. I have no clue who anybody in professional baseball is playing tonight. But what I know is nobody is going to look back at this game as the point of victory or defeat come October.
Mm-hmm.
The games are, by and large, I don't want to say meaningless, but they're not important. We're used to it. You know, it's the cycle. It's the everyday thing. Football, world stops for your one game. We've noticed this. We've talked about it in this segment a bunch over the years, is how, you know, to be blunt, terrible some teams look in week one.
Yes.
You know, maybe that carries into week two, because now this is becoming more of a marathon than a sprint. So maybe the question is not so much the audience. Maybe it's on the field, how they're being managed, how they're being coached. They got to last a bit longer. Yes, and you're going to take on, say, an additional 200 snaps a year, but more, you got to slow down a little bit. We can't run this like a 400 meter anymore. Now this is an 800 meter. We're going to pace ourselves a little bit more and try to sustain more speed for a little bit longer. Especially considering these things happened in this generation of the game. There are players that used to play in 16 games. I mean, how old are we? You know,
right.
Back in my day when they only played 16 games, we're at that point. You know, it was kind of a stretch ago. The older players have that experience. You know, they'll be probably out by the time they get 18 games, but I think we're going to see a difference, especially early in the year when the excitement is the highest for the most amount of teams. It wouldn't surprise me if they come out of the gate, you know, pretty light. Good teams winning 18 games in a year is really, really hard to do. So in that way, they devalue the regular season a little bit more. I don't know if it could really go any higher than that. I do think they want to push it and own as much of the market as they can. But law of diminishing returns is going to come into effect here pretty quick. I just think it's more the product on the field as opposed to people watching it.
Right. Rob Manfred was just at Cooperstown for the Baseball Hall of Fame. And he's an attorney. And to the people I talked with there, they said he kind of got up there and was just matter-of-fact about things, didn't act like he wanted to be there. That was their impression of it. I didn't see it myself. And I sat back and made me wonder, I know the commissioner has to advocate for the owners. I understand that, which, by the way, of course, includes TV contracts and the like. Who advocates for the fans? Who sits down in a room and says, hey, can everybody hold on a second? Can we talk about what's best for the fans here? Who does that?
I think that the easy answer would be the fans do. They bought fewer tickets and watched fewer games. You might think about trying to engage them again. I think baseball, ironically, because I agree with the general point that you're making, but baseball, ironically, is the game that has incorporated the most recently out of the idea of the fans. I think that the pitch clock in baseball is long overdue.
You're right.
Something that has made it better. There are other, you know, interests as far as the shift goes, eliminating, you know, pitching to intentional walks. Those kinds of things were done with the fan in mind. It speeds it up, and you know, I don't want to act like speeding the game up is the only end-all concern that they have, but it has a significant impact. If you watch a game, it's just so much more enjoyable to see something with a flow. I understand the history of baseball largely dictates that you don't change anything. They haven't liked change. They've been most resistant to change of any sport, most established one. That makes sense. But to the degree that they have gone recently to act with, I think, the fan in mind, should be replicated with other sports, because that doesn't exist. The NFL, you know, some conspiracy theorists among us, myself included, might say fines and suspensions are largely driven by crowdsourced reactions coming from the league more than they are any type of independent judgment. What I mean by that is, guaranteed, week one, if there is a controversial hit of some type that's pretty prominently shown around everything, people are all weighing in on it. You will see a prominent reporter tweet out, the league is considering a suspension for whoever, whatever it was. I don't even know what that means. Did Adam Schefter call him and say, hey, are you guys thinking about suspending this guy? Yeah, we're thinking about it. At what point do they meet and decide, we're going to consider a suspension, but not actually rule on a suspension? Why would you even do that? So in my mind, they use the fans' reaction to help determine whether or not the player should be suspended or whatever, you know, or just fined. So in you know, kind of a paranoid, delusional way, if people like me might think that the NFL seeks the opinions of the fans by, you know, kind of teasing news out there and seeing how people react to it. If the reaction is very favorable overall, that, you know, the player should be suspended, they'll suspend them. If not, they won't. I think they do take the fans into account when it comes to that. At the same time, as you know full well, within the NFL, fan reaction to things like blown non-pass interference calls in a playoff game leads to an entire rule change in which now they can review pass interference calls in what I think history will bear out is one of the stupidest, short-sighted decisions the NFL has ever made. The fans absolutely have weight in those types of things, just not in a formal way, not in an official way.
Always a pleasure. We never discuss where we're going to go with it because I know I can ask him anything, and the flow is tremendous. Thank you so much, Neil. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong joining us on the show in this half hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Multiple insurance needs, and they make sure that you are fully insured and do everything they can to save you money. Just great people who are great pros. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, which is 2 weeks from tomorrow at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Henry Ford started building trucks in 1917, and Sunbury Motors has been selling them ever since. SMC has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116 and financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Sunbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s with 48 to pick from, and well-equipped Supercrew XLTs start at just $49,831. Sunbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, Super Cabs, Super Crews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the Greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We feel that Brewers Outlet is the perfect half-hour sponsorship for the Macatrillo Rant, because we feel you'll need it more than ever. What?
Well, that's because sometimes I need it more than ever because of the stupidity that goes on in sports.
I would like to point out
that... There you go. This works both ways, you know.
I watched your video of your 10-month-old son walking along behind a whatever, and then he tripped, fell, and rolled over, and that's when I knew it was your kid.
You know, you're not the first person to say that, but actually, Luke calls it a training lawnmower, so Luke already has him in training. Keyword, Luke, not daddy.
Every time I turn around, you violate every possible child labor law. I mean, do you follow the rules?
Like I said before, I won't tell if you won't tell.
Oh, and saying it on this show will certainly keep it a secret. All right. Everybody, buckle up. He's about to take one big deep breath and let her fly.
Well, of course, it's always a tough act to follow when you have the great Veal Coolong on. But I'm going to keep the NFL conversation going. But it does not have anything to do with the Eagles. I'm actually going to start with the Green Bay Packers. And it looks, now when I saw this yesterday, it looked like maybe we missed some time. But it looks like they might actually get it finalized ASAP, and that's the contract extension, the mega contract extension. Looks like it will happen at some point here for Jordan Love before or when training camp starts. But I got to tell you, so coming into this season, I was going to pick the Packers to win the NFC North over the Detroit Lions. They were that was like my surprise pick. I usually like to have one or two when I do preseason picks for the NFL. That was going to be one of my surprise picks. Then I saw what's going on with Jordan Love's contract situation, and I'm pumping the brakes a little bit because last year was his best year, no question, and the Packers, I think, we're going to be a very good team this year, building on what they did last year and bringing a lot of those pieces back. And Jordan Love had a lot to do with it, especially in that 49er game. But he still needs to prove it now for a full season. And so this is not the time for him to be worrying about getting paid. This should be the time for him to worry about building on what he did last year. And then if you build on what you did last year, then you can try to get your big payday. It's coming too early because we don't know for sure if he can exactly pull off and build on what he did last year. So the fact that he's worrying about that all of a sudden after half a good year finishing off strong, I'm sorry. That's not the right mindset that I would want my franchise quarterback to have. I don't care how good he played during the stretch. But if the Packers, on the other side of this, actually had this in mind to pay him, that seems kind of unknown at this point, then this should have been done a while ago. So I still think ultimately there's fault here at both sides. But the fact is that your guy that you're counting on to maybe be the franchise quarterback who had a great ending to the year last year has the ability to build on it for this year. But the fact that his mind's already on the big contract and not on focusing to try to build on what he did on the field last year, that could be a major problem to me. So I don't like where this is going now for the Packers. I don't.
Strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah, he needs to do that on the field.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. He's looking for long-term security. I don't blame him. And now's the time to do it. You're not playing any games right now.
I get it, but for me, I want my franchise quarterback to be in there day one, in training camp, focused, ready to go, not worrying about anything else but football. And he doesn't seem to be right now after one good year, half a good year, half a good year, and a really good playoff run. Like I said, I still think the Packers can be and will be a really good team this year. Like I said, I think they're good enough to win the NFC North, but if the franchise quarterback doesn't have his head straight, then that could be thrown all out the window. But this does give valuable time to Sean Clifford, you know, selfishly looking at it from a Penn State perspective, because now he splits the reps 50-50 with the first team, but that's not, I don't think, what the Packers would want. But I don't like where his mindset is right now. I really don't. After half a good year.
You can almost say that about your quarterback.
At least he went to the Super Bowl. Jordan Love won a playoff game. And he was good before that. Jordan Love had half a good season, which also resulted in a playoff game. There was more than you saw from Jalen Hurts from his start of his, from the start of his career to what you see from Jordan Love at the start of his career?
Well, he didn't drop the ball in the Super Bowl and have it run back for a touchdown, so you're correct.
There's still time. That could happen this year, and they would have already paid him.
So what's next?
Well, next, staying with the NFL, and I'm sure I did not get a chance to listen to you and Neil, so I'm not sure if you guys touched on this or not, but I'm sure you did. It's the 18-game schedule, because you guys talked about it multiple times when we had him on when I was still on the show full-time. And as I've said before, if you're the NFL, leave well enough alone with this 18-game schedule. I don't like where this is going. Now, assuming that it does go to 18 games, then you're going to go down to two preseason games. Now, from a watchful perspective, I can live with only two preseason games. However, when you're looking at, if you truly care about your football team, from you're looking at it big picture for the whole season, you still need more than two preseason games to evaluate players. Not put the starters aside, because that's starting to slowly go out the window anyway with these joint practices and stuff like that. But to figure out the rest of the 53-man roster and maybe potential guys for your practice squad, not only on your team but other teams. That third game was really critical for those guys to give more tape to put themselves out there to get one of those spots on the 53 or on the practice squad. Two games, I'm just afraid, is not enough time for coaches to evaluate guys. And joint practices are good and all, and I think that you even say, I even argue this for the starters sometimes, is it's still not the same as a true game-like atmosphere. And you and I talked about this before, and we, especially with the Eagles last year. So I don't like where that's going from that perspective either. But then, of course, we've talked about before, there's the player injuries and stuff like that. And if part of the argument truly is just to move the season back a week, extend the season a week so you can have the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend, everybody gets that Monday off because it's a federal holiday, I have a very simpler solution that totally won't put your players off the edge by having to play a regular or another regular season game. Move everything back a week. Earth to Roger Goodell. Where's your common sense? I'm sorry, I don't think he had much. He's still, despite being able to make billions and billions of dollars for the NFL. That is the most logical thing to do. I already didn't like 17 games to begin with. Now we're going to add 18 probably, which is inevitable. But if you really, really just want to move everything back and make sure the Super Bowl is on President's Day weekend, which I'm okay with, to get everybody that day off, I think it's kind of smart. Move everything back a week, or move everything back 2 weeks if you had the 17th game. Whatever it is, just move everything back. It's fine.
So, you're in favor of 18 games. Okay.
And listen, I love football. I love the NFL season. But I loved it, and I still love it, even though it's 17 games now. And even though I do love it, I still feel like the regular season really kind of is a little too long, because I was so used to and liked the fact that Wild Card Weekend was always the weekend after New Year's, and then so on and so forth. And you go down the line all the way to the Super Bowl, and now you're still playing regular season games into January. And you're kind of ready for the playoffs to start. Like I said, you just have to leave well enough alone. And the product was fine the way it is. I mean, I guess it is still fine the way it is, even despite having the 17th game. But the fact is, NFL just has to find a way to stop and realize that, guess what? They're still going to dominate ratings, everything else you can think of in terms of competing with the other major sports, because of the way the product is right now. And the more you add to it now, the more you have a chance to actually make the product worse. And then you start hitting the panic button a little bit. And as you and I have talked about before, when you hit the panic button, more bad things happen. Leave it, everything alone, even though I know they won't happen.
Well, they're going to push it to the limit. I mean, again, I don't like the fact the Eagles have to open up in Brazil, because I feel like the Eagles fans define loyalty. I mean, when the team isn't going well, they show up and sell it out, and they boo them. When they're winning, they show up and sell out, and then when there's a bad play, they boo them. You guys are really consistent. But yeah. But they're going to take.
But the bottom line is, we're there.
They're going to take away a home game from them and move the game to Brazil. I don't like it. I don't know what that does for the league. This league and every sports league in this country was built on the American fan. The American fan should be the one that gets the benefit of extra games and not another country.
Could not have said it better.
That's why I said it. So, what else is on your mind?
And then the last thing, albeit it's kind of a small thing because there's bigger problems right now when it comes to the New York Yankees, but I am not going to let Luis Severino off the hook with his recent comments that just came up yesterday, saying that the Yankees only have two good hitters and threw that jab as the Yankees and Mets resume the Subway Series tonight. Now,
by the way, did you see,
is he that off?
Did you see the picture?
No, I'll admit that.
Did you see the picture? They had a fence set up around the back of the infield. I think they were cutting grass in the outfield or whatever like that, but they had a fence set up at the skin of the infield. And the caption read, home run hitting derby for the Yankees 4-9 hitters.
Like I said, factually, he's not that far off. But for Luis Severino to say that, how about you focus on, like, maybe staying healthy for a full year? Because that's something you haven't been able to do since you were first brought up and the Yankees made you who you were. But you couldn't be built. You couldn't build on that yourself because you're always on the 60-day DL every season. You could have been something, but you can't keep yourself healthy. So there it is right there. Now you're barely making the Mets. So let's watch where we're going with this. And he said that some Yankee players reached out to him because they still keep in touch with their group texts and stuff like that. That's fun banter that's going to happen all the time. You think the fact that you went out to the media with it, that shows you what a weasel you are.
No.
He is. It's weaselly. And the fact that he's probably not even going to face the Yankees yet again this series either. He didn't face them the last series, and now he's probably not going to face them in this series either, it looks like, the way the rotation goes. But like I said, how about you worry about actually staying healthy for once and staying off the 60-day DL before you worry about how many good hitters the Yankees have or not, or any opponent for that matter.
So do we mark you down as not a fan? I just want to make sure as we keep score here.
That would be correct. And never really was a fan of him when he was in pinstripes again because he couldn't stay on the mound. Simple as that. You are not allowed to talk any trash whatsoever if you don't play the game. Availability is your best ability, not only playing on the field, but also talking nonsense in the media.
So we mark you down as not a fan?
Correct.
I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted to make sure.
I appreciate you clearing that up.
I get a little worried. All right. Is there anything? Todd, please jump in.
I was going to say, I feel like you're a little jealous that he's on the better team now. Sorry, Mets.
No, the Mets can have him, trust me, because he wouldn't be doing anything, any help for the Yankees anyway.
That could be true. Maybe you're onto something here. My goodness. So are the Yankees sellers at the trade deadline?
I still think they need to be buyers, honestly. I mean, to me, my philosophy's always been, if you're in the playoff hunt, which the Yankees are, you buy. And you're the New York Yankees. You have the ability to buy. You don't have much in the farm system anyway. One trade deadline's not going to bolster that by any means. So, yeah, I think they still need to buy. And looks like, depending on what the price is, Ryan, if the Rays are willing, the Rays have several guys that look like they're going to put out on the market. And there's many other good choices, especially pitching. So, yeah, this is a time where the Yankees can, if they put the right pieces together, make a run. If they put the right pieces together, I don't know if that's easier said than done when you have one Brian Cashman starting to run the table here.
Do you mostly suffer during games with your teams?
It depends on how the game goes.
I mean, do you experience any joy being a fan?
Again, it depends on how the game goes. I mean, I've been doing a lot of suffering lately overall with the Yankees, except for the Orioles series to end the first half of the regular season. So, yeah.
You know, we've been killing the Yankees for, what, a month now?
Oh, no.
And
I've done it for this current
iteration of the Yankees. How's that?
Yeah.
They're still 18 games above 500.
That is all well and good, but I still look at October.
They've done a great job against the White Sox.
And where they match up right now, and I still see them as a one-and-done team.
Well,
Especially the way MLB's been lately. I mean, you had a 80-something win team in the World Series last year.
I mean, they've done a great job against the White Sox.
I'd even argue that's been a little bit of a stretch.
Oh, brutal. Brutal.
It's a crapshoot. Gerrit Cole gets hot at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Nestor Cortez gets okay.
Yeah. I mean, the All-Star game was a microcosm of the Aaron Judge career. Great in the regular season. Big moment. Gets an out. And I'll say, okay.
They still need more regardless. And when you go to pitching, even if Gerrit Cole is pitching well, and he looks like he's starting to hit his stride a little bit now, there's still no consistent arm that I feel good enough to put in and back as a number two guy besides Gerrit Cole for the postseason. I thought that was supposed to be Luis Gil, but that's kind of almost out the window for me now because you're starting to see the fatigue wearing, and he hasn't been great lately. So, yeah, the Yankees need to absolutely get two arms, one for the starting rotation and one for the bullpen, but most importantly for the starting rotation, and they need another bat or two desperately. They also need a manager that doesn't play eeny, miny, moe to try to figure out the lineup, but that's a different topic.
Oh, boy.
You are well aware that Aaron Boone does not make that lineup, right?
Well, whoever's putting the lineup, I know.
It is their analytics
people. Whatever way they're putting the lineup together is not working, especially when you've got five. Every day, it's literally a new lineup.
Well, they're guessing.
Yes, exactly.
These are your people. These are the people you put confidence in.
They didn't come from me, I can tell you that.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I've had them on the chopping block for a long time now. You know that.
Yet, every time I've talked to Aaron Boone, he speaks highly of you.
You know, the one thing I'll always give him is he is an Eagles fan. He will always have that, but he still needs to learn how to put a lineup together.
But he manages in New York. I thought you said that Josh Harris couldn't buy Washington because it was a betrayal to Philadelphia.
Yes, but Aaron Boone is just a fan. He's not employed by anybody else but the New York Yankees.
And you don't want him to be employed there?
No.
You'd be a hard guy to work for.
I'm like the boss, George Steinbrenner. Do your job or get out.
Well, see, Todd, you're doing a great job, so that's why you're in.